This show is live and local. It's your local performance connection. And today's show will include the first of several guests this week who will be playing at the third annual Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival happening in downtown Urbana this Friday and Saturday. Actually, there's a kickoff program on Thursday evening. You can check out their full schedule at folkandroots.org. But the first guest that I'll have is named Donna Herula. She is a blues musician from Chicago, and she'll be participating in the festival twice on Saturday, and we'll hear all the details about that. And also, the Illinois Chamber Orchestra gives its first concerts of the season this weekend. Illinois Chamber Orchestra is the small version of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, which, of course, already opened its season. And my guest today is the second of their music director candidates. Each guest conductor this season is conducting twice, once with the big symphony and once with the little orchestra. And this is Kenneth Raskin's first appearance. He's starting off with the chamber orchestra, music by Stravinsky and Tchaikovsky this weekend, and I'll be talking with Ken on the second portion of our show today. It's live and local. Hope you'll stay with us.
About my man, say it is what you please, and I want you to know, it's all right by me, he's my baby. Remember the words you said. You were too intoxicated. You were talking out your head. You're my baby. And I don't care what you said. You're gonna be my baby. Thank you.
That was a tune called The Moon Is Rising, which is the title track of a CD by Chicago blues woman Donna Hirula. And she's on the phone with me right now. Actually, you're in California or somewhere out west at the moment?
Yeah, I'm in California right now.
And you'll make it back to Illinois somehow this weekend.
I'll be making it back on Thursday. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to playing on Saturday and doing the workshop, too.
Yeah, Donna's here for the third annual Folk and Roots Festival in Champaign-Urbana. And she's doing a Delta Blues guitar workshop Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock and then performing Saturday evening at 8:15 at the Iron Post. Workshop will be at Corson Music. And as I say, she's on the phone with Matt right now. So what are you doing in California? What's happening out there?
Well, actually, it's just for my day job.
Oh.
So I'm doing things for that and then coming back on Thursday. Yeah.
So what does a blues woman do during the day?
Well, you know, I went to U of I at Urbana-Champaign. I got my psych degree, and I'm actually also a licensed marriage and family therapist. So I do benefits work for a healthcare company, and so I do that by day and then blues women by the evening.
Yeah, I'd forgotten you were a UIUC grad.
I got my psych degree.
So you'll be coming. You'll be coming back home, so to speak.
I will.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm so excited.
And at what point did you start playing the blues?
You know, I actually started playing guitar when I was 10, and I think because I was living in Chicago, there was a lot of blues people around. I mean, I was a little kid at that time, but my brother was a saxophone player and played in bands, so I, like, begged him to have one of his guitar buddies, and he's, like, 8 years older than me, but I was, like, 10, and he was, late teenager, and I was, begging him to have one of his blues guitar buddies to teach me the blues scale and how to play guitar. So that's how I started off, and then In high school, I ended up writing a song called Midterm Blues and performed that with the jazz band backing me up and have some background singers. So I had a really good high school band teacher who really really worked with me to arrange a jazz band for the back of this song, which was really cool for a teenager to be able to do that.
Yeah, no kidding.
So then it just kind of progressed from there. And then, probably about 7 or 8 years ago, I really got fascinated with slide guitar, and I just couldn't get enough of it. And, I got involved in, old-time blues and more of the Delta blues players, went over to the Old Town School of Folk Music in Chicago and started learning songs by Sun House and Robert Johnson and, Tommy Johnson and Blind Blake. And, all the old, and especially I started getting interested in the old female blues players because, it was Delta blues, country blues, which I really like, and then the classic blues, which people aren't really as knowledgeable about, but, like Bessie Smith or Ma Rainey, they had a really cool, jazz band back them up, kind of jazz, early jazz or, late blues, in the 20s. That's when these women were really popular. They were very popular, compared to a guy like Robert Johnson, like Ma Rainey. I mean, she made a lot of money. She did a lot of shows, and she was really popular. So I really like doing songs while, on a solo guitar. I play in duets and as a soloist, so I don't play usually with a band. And so it's kind of neat to kind of arrange those songs that they did, like Bessie Smith and Memphis Minnie for solo or duet guitar.
Well, it's fun to listen to you, and it looks like you've been getting some recognition for your work. Won the Chicago Blues Challenge last year in the solo duo category along with a harmonica player,
mm-hmm.
John Yoakum.
Yeah.
And I see you're nominated just this month for Best Female Blues Performer by the Chicago Black Music Awards.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I was shocked about it. Apparently, the Moon Is Rising songs of Robert Nighthawk has been, been getting some, good feedback. A lot of radio stations have been playing it, and I've been really pleased about it because really my main concern was I really wanted to kind of highlight the songs of Robert Nighthawk. He's a wonderful slide guitar player, and he kind of bounced from town to town throughout his career and never really stayed in one place long enough to really get the notoriety, the recognition that I believe he really deserves. So when I was going through a lot of his material, I have noticed that he was such a great songwriter, in addition to being a great vocalist and wonderful slide guitar player. You know, a lot of people know his song Sweet Black Angel. It was made known by B.B. King. And, you know, Cheatin' and Lying Blues or Murderin' Blues, that's a real popular song. But there's so many songs like The Moon Is Rising and Take It Easy Baby and, you know, a lot of these other songs, Crying Won't Help You, that are just wonderful. And, you know, I just really wanted to really promote and hope that by creating this CD that people will go back to his original tunes and listen to him. So he was popular, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, that kind of thing. He played with a lot of other people as well, you know, with Willie Dixon. He played a song with Coco Taylor when he was in Chicago. You know, he bounced back from Helena, Arkansas, where he was born. And then he would, you know, go, you know, Florida, he'd go to St. Louis, he'd go. But he was in Chicago a lot, and he was well known for being on Chicago's Maxwell Street. So, you know, This Is Free, I believe the name of the DVD is, where they show Maxwell Street and some of the Maxwell Street performers. He was on there doing, like, Sweet Black Angel and Anna Lee and songs like that that are just incredible. So the guy is wonderful. So I do play a lot of Robert Nighthawk, you know, from the new CD as well.
Sure.
But it was great playing with John Yoakam. He's a wonderful harmonica player. So that was actually the second time I was down in Memphis. I was actually also the Illinois Central Blues Club also sponsored me in 2009 to play down in Memphis. So I won their Blues Challenge as a soloist when there wasn't a Windy City Blues Society. So actually I belong to two blues societies down in downstate and then in Chicago now that they just got started a couple years ago.
Let's have another sample from the CD. It's from the Blues Moon Is Rising Songs of Robert Nighthawk CD. We're talking with Donna Harula. And since you mentioned the harmonica player, John Yoakam, he's joining you on this tune, Take It Easy, Baby. Anybody else on this tune as well?
Oh, my husband, Tony Nardiello, he's also playing backup rhythm guitar. He's actually also going to be, we're going to be playing together. He's going to probably be doing about a half hour with me at the Folk and Roots Fest on Saturday as well.
Yeah, she'll be at the Folk and Roots Festival Saturday night at 8:15 at Iron Post in downtown Urbana, also giving a Delta Blues guitar workshop, which I'll ask you a little bit about in just a couple of minutes. That'll be 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon. You're listening to Live and Local.
Taking my money, start raising Cain. You better take it easy. Take it easy. You better take it easy, baby. I don't like the way you do. Buy you coal and wood, then you look at me and say, you're no good, you better take it easy. Take it easy, baby. You better take it easy, baby. I don't like the way you do. I give you my money, I bought you clothes, now you wanna put me outdoors. You better take it easy. Take it easy. You better take it easy, baby. I don't like the way you do. Take it easy. love me, baby, won't you tell me so? You're loving someone else, so you can go. You better take it easy. Take it easy. You better take it easy, baby. I don't like the way you do. You won't change your ways. I'm not coming back at all. You better take it easy. Take it easy. You better take it easy, baby. I don't like the way you do.
Tune is called Take It Easy, Baby, sung by Donna Hirula and played on the slide guitar as well, and along with husband Tony, what's his last name again?
Nardiello
on the backup rhythm guitar, and also John Yoakam on the harp. And she'll be at the Champaign Urbana Folk and Roots Festival on Saturday twice. And you're given a Delta Blues guitar workshop.
Yep.
How do you anticipate that'll work out, and what kind of people would you like to see show up for that?
Really, anybody who's interested in the blues and into old-time blues. Really, I'm going to be doing a song by Tommy Johnson, Big Road Blues, in drop D. And, you know, I thought I'd, you know, have people, you know, a lot of times people are used to playing in standard tuning, and all I'm doing is standard tuning and just dropping one note, the low note. So it's a really cool song. It really is. It has some nice bass runs and things like that. And then I thought I would try an open G tuning, which is just changing another couple strings, and do some really cool Delta blues stuff with that one, with a Willie Brown song. So we're going to get, you know, low down and into the Delta. And I love the music for the Delta. I was just over in the King Biscuit Blues Festival just this October, and was on the King Biscuit Time radio show with Sonny Payne, and which is the longest running blues radio show, daily radio show. I have a lot of history down in Helena, Arkansas, so I wanted to bring some of that music from the Delta up to the Champaign Urbana area. So I hope to have people come out and learn a little bit about Delta blues and some different tunings, and bring their recorders. If they're interested, they can just, you know, record it and practice.
It's Donna Hirula. She's going to be at the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival on Saturday twice, giving the workshop at 1 o'clock at Course in Music, and then playing along with her husband at 8:15 at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana. Both events are free. Well, one is free, no wristband necessary. The other one is free with a festival wristband, and the wristband is what gets you admission to all the events at the festival, and you can go for more information to folkandroots.org. And for more information on Donna Hirula, what's your website?
It's donnahirula.com, so it's donnahirula.com.
Well, we appreciate your joining us, and hope you enjoy your meeting out there in California.
Yeah. All right.
And let's go out with another from the CD. Moon is Rising, Songs of Robert Nighthawk, and this song is called Crying Won't Help You on Live and Local.
No matter what you do, the way you treat me is coming back home to you. And crying won't help you. Crying won't help you. Crying won't help you, 'cause you've been so mean to me. No matter what you say, darling, no matter where you go, just remember, gotta reap just what you sow. And crying won't understand. I'm going away and leaving you. Let you do the best you can. And crying won't help you. Crying won't help you. Crying won't help you, 'cause you've been so mean to me.
Donna Herula, Crying Won't Help You, from her disc paying tribute to Robert Nighthawk. And she'll be at the 3rd Annual Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival on Saturday afternoon with a workshop at 1 o'clock, and then in the evening with her own performance at 8:15. Check out the full schedule at folkandroots.org. And we'll be covering that festival throughout the week with a number of other performers, including tomorrow on Live and Local with a live performance from one of our local klezmer groups called Don't Ask. They'll be playing at the festival as well. Also on tomorrow's show, we'll be having singers from the University of Illinois Opera Program's production of Mozart's The Magic Flute, which actually happens next week. So more on that on tomorrow's Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our program today is supported in part by the 3rd Annual Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, November 4th and 5th in downtown Urbana. The festival features over 70 artists performing blues, jazz, old-time, Cajun, bluegrass, and Irish music with storytelling and more. Schedules and information are available at cufolkandroots.org. The Wampanoag Nation saved the Pilgrims from starvation and lived to regret it. We Still Live Here, our next community cinema, tells the story of linguist Jesse Little Doe, reviving the Wampanoag language more than a century after the last native speaker died. The free public screening is at the main Champaign Public Library Tuesday, November 8th, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. The film is closed captioned and the discussion translated by a sign language interpreter. Coming up next, conversation with the next music director candidate with the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. He's one of the six guest conductors this season, Kenneth Raskin. Each of them gets to perform twice in the season, once with the Illinois Symphony and then once with the Chamber Orchestra. And it's Ken's turn to conduct the Chamber Orchestra in concerts in Bloomington and Springfield this weekend. You just heard the opening music from the Apollo Ballet, or Apollon Musagète, by Igor Stravinsky, a section that is both the prologue and representing the birth of Apollo. We heard a performance here by the Stockholm Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Esa-Pekka Salonen. And that is one of two pieces that will be on the concerts this weekend by the Illinois Chamber Orchestra, Friday night at Springfield's St. Agnes Church and Saturday night at Second Presbyterian Church in Bloomington. The conductor will be Kenneth Raskin, who is one of the candidates to be music director of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. One of those candidates will get the job after this season. And Ken is with me on the phone right now in Bloomington. Thanks very much for joining us.
It's great to be with you, Kevin.
And it's great to talk to you again. We were actually chatting before we opened up the microphone here about having gone to one workshop together and some other sort of coincidentally shared experiences. So it's nice to talk to you again after a long, long time.
Absolutely.
So since the previous candidate I talked with, Donato Cabrera, I gave the chance to sort of tell what had happened since he was last at the University of Illinois. You don't have the University of Illinois connection, but you and I have this kind of weird connection just because it was a long time ago. And so I'll just say, since the time you were at the Conductors Institute in Hartford, Connecticut, back in the early, I guess it would be early 90s, what have you been doing? How did you get where you are?
Well, as you know, at that time, I was living in the San Francisco Bay Area, working professionally as a trumpet player, orchestral trumpet player, playing with many of the fine orchestras throughout that region, including touring with San Francisco Opera every fall and in other groups up and down the coast throughout the area. And actually, when you and I met, I was at the wee beginnings of exploring what we call the conducting bug. Once you get it, you can't get rid of it. And seeing how I like it and getting some experience. Since that workshop, I continued to do the same while I was out there attending other workshops, working with a local orchestra that I became a principal conductor of, an orchestra devoted to playing concerto repertoire in the area. And then I finally decided that I wanted to pursue it in all seriousness, and got a scholarship to University of Michigan School of Music to get my master's in conducting, a very fine school. At one time, it might even be now rated number one program in the country, so I was very, very fortunate to have that experience. Actually was studying conducting with the previous music director, two music directors ago of the Illinois Symphony, Kenneth Kiesler. So I did my master's there, soon after got my first job working as a staff conductor with the North Carolina Symphony in Raleigh. That was a wonderful experience in that they, at the time, were doing a music search themselves. So when I came in, it worked out great for me because there was lots to do for, and of course, that orchestra is a full-time orchestra and has a huge devotion to education all around the state. So doing all kinds of concerts, run out classical education, gained a lot of experience there, and have worked as a guest conductor, was a American Symphony Orchestra League fellowship finalist for a position with the Cleveland Orchestra, and also on their preview in 2005, and been going ever since, and excited about the prospect of coming here and being a new music director.
And you're working with the Sacramento Philharmonic as
yes,
associate
I'm a
conductor?
Currently associate conductor of the Sacramento Philharmonic. Conduct a choral, very fine small choral ensemble in the area called Camerata California, and work with some other regional orchestras as well as guest conduct around as my career keeps going and develops.
What made you decide to work with a choral group as well as the orchestral?
Well, they approached me, and it was a great opportunity. My main background has come from working with, you know, with orchestras, of course, as a conductor and as a player, but always fond of voice. I sang in choir in high school, you know, loved doing that. Have done bits and pieces of working with choirs, worked with opera singers a lot and enjoy that realm as well. In a lot of ways, conducting music is conducting music, whether it's an orchestra or a chorus, but on the other hand, a lot of differences, and opportunities to do the kind of, literature and repertoire that, only comes in the choral world. So, not a huge pursuit, but, in fact, the first concert I did with them, though, teamed up with a local orchestra, and we did the Rossini Stabat Mater, which is, if you don't know it, it's an amazing work. You might think you're listening to Verdi's Requiem at time. You would not guess Rossini. It was one of his very last works he wrote. Of course, coming here, I would love to find opportunities to do works for orchestra and chorus, some of the great, great pieces in the repertoire.
The program that you're doing here, well, this I should say this is the first of two programs you'll be doing with the Illinois Symphony Orchestras. The Illinois Chamber Orchestra is this week, and then next May you'll be working with the big symphony, so to speak, Mozart, Mahler, and Ravel. But this particular program, you get to have the intimate ensemble, and you're playing some exclusively music for strings of Tchaikovsky and Stravinsky. You want to talk a little bit about how you picked this program?
Well, sure. I was asked by the orchestra. Of course, they have to piece together a whole season of big orchestra programs and the chamber orchestra, and I was asked of them to do a string program for these concerts. They do, you know, mixed instrumental pieces as well, concerts, but this one devoted to just strings, so had to focus in on that. And as I explored, you know, different options of pieces I wanted to do, I also looked at the past programming of the orchestra. They supplied me with 10 years of programming, the obvious reason to see what kinds of things the orchestra has done, what kind of music they haven't done that perhaps they might want to do, and also the very practical knowledge you gain in that, well, you don't want to do something they did last year or, you know, that kind of thing, because it's still a season and people need to be, come to the concert. It isn't just about what you want to do as a conductor. By all means, not the top priority there. Putting on a great concert for the public is what's most important. But I noticed as I was looking, I was like, where's the Tchaikovsky Serenade? Where's the Tchaikovsky Serenade? Lots of the great, I mean, from Elgar to Dvorak and, you know, great works for string orchestra. And I didn't see Tchaikovsky on there in all those years. And it just, for whatever reason, hadn't come to that piece in a long time. And that's just such a it's such a beautiful and, you know, staple work, just quintessential Tchaikovsky, and it's not easy, but the players certainly love it, and it's wonderful for listeners. So that was a no-brainer for me. Wanted to do the Tchaikovsky, and then exploring what else I could do, you know. And I kind of came to this of doing Apollon, which I'd only recently come to. I'd never conducted the piece, but I only recent, you know, about a year ago, ever really got exposed to it. Of course, you know so many of the great Stravinsky works, even, you know, of course, the big ballets from, you know, Petrushka and then Rite of Spring and whatnot, but also other pieces from his neoclassical period. I've played the octet or in Puccinella, which were kind of the beginning of that period for him in 1920, but then learned about this piece, which is kind of unique, and just fell in love with it, and then thought, well, these are challenging works, very different in a lot of ways, but challenging to play, challenging to conduct, but wonderful pieces. So that was that. I said, let's go for it, and here we are.
So the short name of the Stravinsky piece is Apollo, the full name Apollon Musagète, which means what?
Well, it means the Apollo, the master of the muses, or the leader of the muses. It depends on the translation. Apollo was the Greek god of, well, most people think of him as the god of the sun, which kind of came later. I mean, a lot of these Greek gods were gods of lots of lots of different things. He was also the god of order, the arts, and the muses, and also reason and prophecy. And the muses, there were nine muses total. These are the goddesses who inspire the creation of literature and the arts, and are led by Apollo, and hence Apollo and the muses. And what Stravinsky wanted to do, he always wanted to do a ballet based on an episode in Greek mythology. And when the opportunity came to do this piece, it was actually commissioned by the Elizabeth Sprague Coolidge Foundation in part of the Library of Congress to do this. And he was given limitations to wanting a half-hour work. It had to be a small ensemble and a small group of dancers because of limited space and whatnot. And it was a perfect opportunity, and hence unusually written just for strings, which in Stravinsky you often see unique mixes of instruments for that unique color, and here it's all strings. He decided to choose three of the muses to kind of focus the action of the ballet on, the three being Calliope, the goddess of epic poetry and rhythm, the eldest of the muses. The next was Polyhymnia, which is basically, she was the goddess of mime and also of choral singing, or many hymns, hence the name Polyhymnia. But in this case, mime, and she appears with her fingers to her lips, showing of not speaking. And then the third, Terpsichore, the goddess of dance.
And why don't we hear a little bit more? We opened our conversation with music from Apollo. The variation regarding Calliope. Anything particular to say about this before we launch into it?
Well, what's interesting about this is that, again, Calliope, the goddess of poetry and rhythm, Stravinsky chose to base this his melody, if you will, on the iamb of Alexandrine verse. Alexandrine verse going back to the 12th century, which consists of 12 syllables in pairs of two, if you will, a strong and weak, ba-dum, 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 that kind of a thing. And as you hear the beginning of this this variation or this dance of Calliope's, you actually hear that the melody is designed and is in, if you can count real fast as it goes along, you will hear 12 syllables expressed musically.
Well, start counting, folks, as we lead into the variation for Calliope. And then I think we'll end up hearing those of Polyhymnia and Terpsichore as well from Apollo of Igor Stravinsky. And it's the Stockholm Chamber Orchestra led by Esa-Pekka Salonen. We're talking with Kenneth Raskin, who is guest conductor this week with the Illinois Symphony, actually Illinois Chamber Orchestra, in Springfield and Bloomington. It's live and local. Those were the three variations from Stravinsky's Apollo, representing the three muses, Calliope, Polyhymnia, and Terpsichore, in a performance by the Stockholm Chamber Orchestra here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. You can hear the complete work for strings, a ballet in two scenes, on this weekend's concerts by the Illinois Chamber Orchestra. Friday night at 7:30 in Springfield's St. Agnes Church, and Saturday night at 7:30 at the Second Presbyterian Church in Bloomington. Both of them will be conducted by Kenneth Raskin, the second of the music director candidates working with the Illinois Chamber Orchestra and Illinois Symphony this season as the orchestra goes about selecting its new leader. Ken, how many have you been in other situations where it's a similar search process?
Yes. And definitely been involved in orchestras I've played in years past when they've done search processes, and also, as I mentioned before, when I was working as a conductor with North Carolina Symphony as they went through their process. And it seems to be quite a standard model for orchestras, at least in the United States that I know of, where orchestras will do this two-year process where in the final year of their current music director or outgoing music director, they will be, fielding resumes, doing phone interviews, sometimes live interviews, and, whittling down the selections to a number of candidates who they will then feature and invite to do concerts throughout the second year of the search, if you will, just like we're doing right now. What's actually delightful here that is unique because of the Chamber Orchestra series and also the full orchestra is being invited twice and getting to come doing very very different kinds of concerts with obviously, and often you just get one chance to come do a concert with an orchestra. So I'm delighted to know that that's coming as well.
Let me ask, since you mentioned that you participated as a player in some of these searches, from a player's point of view, what did you look for?
Well, from the very basic, of course, players, are looking for, someone who, has a steadfast and solid technique on the podium that that they are they're providing you what you need as a player, and can be trusted to do that because what's interesting about, as you know, as we conductors, we don't make the sound up there. We're waving our arms and doing things, but it's the musicians themselves are actually making that happen, and we have to remember that it is our primary job to enable them to do the best that they can do in what is often a very challenging thing for instrumentalists, some more than others given the repertoire, of course. But that's always primary of what you want out of that person who's up on the podium, that you can feel comfortable and you can rely on that person to be there for you and to work with you to allow you to shine and bring your talents to the music. And that goes also to someone who is well studied, that comes, you know, as they say, knowing their stuff, that is has a dedication to excellence and challenges the orchestra to play with excellence and push the envelope at times. You also, as a player, and I think this goes to any kind of an organization where there's leadership, you know, be it corporate or teaching or whatever it might be, where you want of your leader someone who respects you, that works with you as a colleague, but also is demanding and insistent, but in a professional manner, and takes from you your valued information. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times I've come into a rehearsal, you know, as a conductor, we come in with our idea of the way we want something to go, and, you know, a musician, you know, they know this repertoire too, if it's standard repertoire, and they might do it a little differently, and your instinct is, no, I want to do it my way, but I can't tell you the number of times I've gone, well, wait a minute, I kind of like that, that's really good, let's go with that, and you give autonomy to players, and we players really appreciate that, because, and just like workers, they're involved, you know, in using all of their creative energy. Also knowing that when decisions have to be made, of course, that they have to come from, you know, from the conductor. Some people like the decision, some people not. But hopefully you're batting above average most of the time.
Well, here's hoping that your batting average is great this weekend, and then when you're back with the full orchestra in May. It's Kenneth Raskin, who's guest conducting the Illinois Chamber Orchestra this weekend, Friday and Saturday, in Springfield and Bloomington, respectively. The program that includes Stravinsky's Apollo Ballet and also Tchaikovsky's Serenade for Strings. For more information on the concert, go to ilsymphony.org. And if somebody wanted more information on you, Ken, where would they find it?
Oh, my goodness. interesting that you say that. Well, I would go to the Illinois Symphony website, because I know my bio is up there. And you know what? Come to the concert and come talk to me afterwards. I'll talk to you all you want. I love connecting with people and sharing my joy in music making with others. So I'm real accessible in that way. So please do that.
And best of luck with the experience.
Thank you, Kevin. It's been a real pleasure.
And we're going to go out with the favorite move of mine, the waltz from the Serenade for Strings by Tchaikovsky. And this is a performance which I believe, Ken, is conducted by one of your teachers, David Zinman.
Wow.
And it's the Netherlands Chamber Orchestra string section here on Live and Local.
Very good.
The strings of the Netherlands Chamber Orchestra performing the waltz from Tchaikovsky's Serenade for Strings under the baton of David Zinman. And you can hear the Illinois Chamber Orchestra string section play the entire piece in concerts this weekend, Friday night at 7:30 in Springfield St. Agnes Church, and Saturday night at 7:30 in Bloomington's Second Presbyterian Church. And that will be conducted by Kenneth Raskin. Here are some other events you can go see and hear live over the next couple of days in our listening area. It's a faculty recital at Illinois State University by the Faculty String Quartet tonight at 7:30 in the Kemp Recital Hall on the ISU campus in Normal. The Hot Iron String Band plays at Clark Bar in Champaign tonight at 7:30. The Traditional Jazz Orchestra plays at the Iron Post in Urbana this evening at 5. The American Boy Choir gives a children's festival of song with audience participation. That's tonight at 7 o'clock at the Krannert Center in Urbana. The Sangamon Valley Adult Community Orchestra Fall Concert is tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield. There's another ISU faculty recital by percussionist Ben Steers. That's in the Kemp Recital Hall tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. The Central Illinois Jazz Orchestra plays at the Fieldhouse Bar and Grill in Peoria tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. And the Aduki Trio plays jazz at Reality Bites in Bloomington tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Tomorrow's show will feature Don't Ask, a klezmer band from our area who will be playing in the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival. They'll play for us live. And we'll also have a live preview of the University of Illinois School of Music Opera Program production of Mozart's Magic Flute. Support for our show today comes in part from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. This is 90.9 WYLL-FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR and Classical Music for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois.